We're holding today in Erevin, Daf Nun Beit, and we're going to start on Nun Aleph Amud Beit. And this is a really complex sugya. I have to admit, usually I'm sort of mizalzel and say, okay, come on, there's nothing to it. This is really a complex sugya, so it's going to require taking into consideration a lot of factors. But let's just remember what it is we've been talking about. There's a basic machlokas, possibly, depending on how we explain the Mishnah, there's a basic machlokas about what the nature of an Eruv is. Is the nature of an Eruv a extension by Chazal of the concept of Ish Mikomo? And that Ish Mikomo is wherever you really are on Shabbos. So that the Iker Din would be that you would be in a place for Shabbos, and even though it isn't really your home and you don't have any food there and so on, the Takana of Erev is to view that as your home. And that would mean that the main idea of an Erev is to walk out of town, go to the place where you want to be koveh, your Mokam Shvisa, and then you'd be allowed to travel 2,000 amas from that, away from the town. The other approach to Erev is that, no, actually, the main point of an Erev is like the other Erevin. And the please don't interrupt. So the main point of the Erev is like the other Erevin, to use food, even though it's a borrowed concept, sort of, because if you're talking about an Erev that has to do with living, diurim, so we use food to show the integration of the diurim. But remember, that's not necessarily true, because according to Shmuel, we're using food. Also, the modality of the way in which it works is the kinyan. So you're kona with the food. You could actually be kona with cash if it wouldn't be for the takona not to use cash particularly, but you can be kona with kalim. So I mean, it isn't that unusual to say that there's a concept of using food as an indication of your own Mokam Shvisa, and that would be similar to the Takona of the Erev for the Mavui and the Erev for the Chatzar. And then it happens that since it's possible that someone will get caught on the road, and if he gets caught on the road, he definitely doesn't have any food, and in that case, we need to make something possible for him. So over there, he could be Kona an Erev by actually being there, but otherwise it wouldn't work just to be there. That was one possibility in understanding the nature of the takana. Now, it turns out, Brucey, please mute yourself. So now it turns, especially you're not wearing a mask, you know. So basically we have three separate situations that we have to consider, and then we have variations on those situations. And that's what makes it confusing. Let's think about the three situations that we have. We have a normal guy who's sitting in his home on Erev Shabbos, and he wants to extend his ability to walk on Shabbos. Okay. Then we have a guy who's on the road, and he wants to be koveya where he is as his Mokam Shvisa for Shabbos. And then we have a guy who's on the road, and he wants to be a koveya, a place where he isn't on Shabbos. And he wants to do that without any food and without actually getting there. We've been jocularly referring to that as apparating. And that is the maximum case where we would consider making an Erev in a very strange way, which you neither put down food, nor did you actually get there. And you simply can utilize your conscious awareness of a specific place. And you have to be able to envision in your mind that particular place, possibly also define it verbally. And it needs to be a place that you actually know and is well-defined. We had a machlokas about how well-defined. That was the question of whether it needs to be literally well-defined according to Rav, or it's enough if it's in the general area according to Shmuel, fine. But those were sort of sub-machlokas in the question. And that was the maximal kind of Erev. Now, within those issues, we have machlokas in here about how exactly to understand the machlokasin that we find in the Mishnah. So we started off with this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and between Rabbi Yehuda. And that was the start of this whole business as to whether a guy who goes ahead and he makes an Erev, and the Mishnah is very unclear about what it's talking about, because it starts talking about a guy who's on the road. Now, the guy who's on the road, it says there that, you know, he and only he has got this option. His option is his envisionment of a Ruvib Makom Ploni, and if he's not aware of that, he can actually have an Erev where he is, at least physically. And then we get this machlokas about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, according to which Rabbi Meir says, well, you know, if this is a special halacha, anu ein lanu ela ani, I mean, this is not for everybody. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on the contrary, this is for everyone. Now, what is this is? We're not sure. This is maximal Erev that we called number 3 level Erev, where you're not using neither your feet because you're not there yet, nor are you using food. And there is the machlokas, whether that is considered to be an Erev under these unusual circumstances where you're on the road, or is the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda referring to Erev stage 2, which is not that you want your Erev far away. Even to say the case in the Mishnah where you didn't know that you could apparate, that you wanted the Erev in your makom, that itself is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and between Rabbi Yehuda, which according to Rabbi Meir, in order for you to get an Erev in your place, it would be something that is unusual. And we're only going to be matter that under unusual circumstances. So Rav Chista's approach was that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and between Rabbi Yehuda is even in Erev level 2. And that according to Rabbi Meir, only an Oni can have an Erev number 2. And an Oshir who's sitting in his house and doesn't want to use food, even if he would walk there, he's going to use food. He can't just walk there because the main takana of the Erev was the food. So this is the way to understand the Mishnah, and in which case, when we said the din of Ma'arvin Bepat, that halacha, where Ma'arvin Bepat is a kula, so that would be said, that kula would be said aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, on the contrary, the main Erev is to go and walk out there. So why can't a rich guy actually walk out there? So that was one approach between the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So that is basically tells us that the main takana of Erevin is up for grabs, because there's a machlokas even what that would be, right? But according to Reb Nachman, what we were talking about is when it says Zehu Sha'amru, it's Rabbi Meir, about the case where he doesn't know. All right. And there, that business about Lo Amru Ma'arvim El Alahakel, that's going according to Reb Yehuda. So this is Reb Nachman's approach. Reb Chista says everybody agrees. I'm sorry?
It's case 4. So Reb Nachman holds, Rabbi Meir's holding about case 4. Can you imagine in case it's case 4, it's Rabbi Meir not?
Case 4. I only remember, did I lay out 4? Then I'm making a mistake. I thought I only laid out 3. Erev with pas, Erev in your makom, and Erev through apparating. What was 4?
Sorry, my mistake.
Okay, so according to Reb Nachman, the idea of lo omru ma'arvim bapas el alahakel, that is said only by Rabbi Yehuda. According to Reb Chista, everybody agrees there's no fundamental machlokas about the nature of Erevin. Everybody agrees if you're actually in a place, that is the primary Erev, even according to Rabbi Meir. And the difference only would be about the apparating, which is level number 3. So Rabbi Meir holds only if you are an Oni. Now, by the way, halacha lamaisa, only being an Oni is still a machlokas aposkim. Rashi learns over here only being an ani means only being a traveler on the road. It has nothing to do with whether you're poor or rich. We're simply referring to the traveler as an ani because he doesn't have his household with him, and therefore there's nothing much that he can do. So there we have that machlokas. In other words, somebody who travels, That is the person that we made this takana on. It was Rabbi Yehuda says, even there, anybody could do that, which would mean that according to Rav Chisda, if a regular guy apparates on Erev Shabbos, and he's in his house, and he could just actually leave his house and say, okay, I want my Erev to be in such and such a place. We'll talk about in a minute whether he actually has to leave the house or can do this from the comfort of his living room alone. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if he's an usher, we are giving him the option of apparating. That is the way that Rav Chisda understood the machlokas. And when it says over here that lo amru ma'arvin bapas el alakel, that was said by everybody, and everyone agrees to this. Now, in the end, yesterday, we ended up with a riot to Rav Nachman. We didn't say that we paskin like Rav Nachman, but we did bring the bride to like Rav Nachman, and we were medayek as well from other places like Rav Nachman, which would mean that according to Rav Nachman, we really do have a fundamental machlokas about whether you can make an Erev by being in a place or not, and that according to Rabbi Meir, you cannot say, I want to be in this place where I'm standing unless you are on the road, or according to some poskim, unless you are an oni, even if you are not on the road. Okay. This is where we were up to yesterday. Now, we got up to a question of an application, which is right at the bottom of the daf, and this is on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, in which Rav had said to his son's tutor, to poor Rechia Baravashi, and he told him, make sure that you tell my son that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And we assumed, as Rashi says, it is like Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Nachman explains it, namely that even when it's bimakomi. So let's assume, and in fact that is the halacha, so let's just review what that would imply. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then it means that you can lichatchila be ma'ariv by being in a place, and that's a fundamental eruv, and that if you are on the road, maybe, then Rabbi Yehuda is allowing you to make this din of apparating. But according to the way we just explained it, it would be true according to Rav Nachman, like Rabbi Yehuda, even if perhaps you were just an ani. Now that's the next question which we're going to be discussing. And this is an actual application of the halacha as we just paskened it. And that goes like this. Rabbi Bar Rav Chana, he used to go every single week, and he traveled from the town of Artivna to Pumpedisa, and there was a gas station on the way in a place called Sinata. And Erev Shabbos, he would say, look, my das is that I want my Mokum Shvisa to be in that gas station. And that way he would walk to the gas station and would walk another 2,000 amas, and he would get to where he needed to go. And that gas station was in the middle between the two tchumim, and he thought that was fine. Why did he think that was fine? So Abaya said to him one day, wait a minute over here. How do you have a right to do that sitting in your living room? My datech, you're assuming that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because our klal is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, right? Furthermore, you're assuming that Rav Chisda said that machlok is b'mokom ploni, and since Rav Chisda learned that the whole machlok is b'mokom ploni, that would mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are allowed to utilize this trick even if you're an usher. That's why you're assuming that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and you hold like the second approach to Rabbi Yehuda, so then the idea is that Rabbi Yehuda is being matir even for an usher, even to do apparating. And that's what you're doing. You're an usher sitting in your living room, and you want to apparate to this gas station every Friday. But that's a big mistake. Why? Because in the end yesterday, remember, we brought Rabbi Nachman as there was a braita that said like Rav Nachman. And according to Reb Nachman, it's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether anybody can do that. It's talking about being ma'ariv baraglov, being in the place. But Rabbi Yehuda, who was saying that you can also apparate, he over there would actually agree that when it comes to the apparating, you would have to be on the road, and you were not on the road. So how can you do this? If we're paskening with the approach of Reb Nachman, Omar lay, so he immediately said, oh my God, you're right. Hadribi, I have charota. I will never apparate from my living room any longer. Okay. So that basically gives us the psak. Omar Rami Bar Choma. Hare Amru, did they not say, I just want to know how this works, that if a person was shoveit in a particular place, so he was Kena Baraglav, so now we have a fascinating question. Is the din of being in a place really exactly the same as putting down your Erev in the place? I'll tell you what is bothering me. If you're in a place, then the Mokam Shvisa was defined by the Arba Amos of your being in a place, right? Because you have your personal Arba Amos. Now, that means that the Erev that you've made extends over an area of this 4 Amos or the 8 Amos. Remember, according to Boibis, or the diagonal of the 8 Amos, whatever shot we're going to adopt. We'll leave that to the side right now. But when you put down food, food doesn't have a personal space. And therefore, there's a big difference between the two, because if you're there personally, you get that extra space because your Mokum Shvisa extended. But if you put your food stam in a place that isn't enclosed, doesn't have a personal space, so then there seems to be an actual loss if you use the alternative form of Erev, now that we pass Kamaik Rabbi Yehuda and we view food as an alternative, you end up with less ability to walk. I understand that a couple of amas here and there may not be critical, but sometimes they are critical. And I want to know what the din is. So let's see that inside. So Amar Rami Bar Choma, Hare Amru Shavat, if you're actually in a place, you get Arba Amas. What's the din if you put food down? Do you also get the Arba Amas? Is the Notenet Eruvo, Yeshlo Arba Amot Olo? Says Rava, I'll prove it to you. Remember that the way we're understanding the Mishnah now is that Rabbi Yehuda tells Rabbi Meir, well, I understand, the main idea of an Erev is to be able to be there with your feet. So you vote with your feet, you make an Erev with your feet. If you're too lazy and you want to send your Erev by get taxi, so okay, so we made a kula that you could do that. If you're rich enough, that's what it's usher, you got to be able to pay for get taxi. But you send your Erev with get taxi. I saw this was the latest app for Get. First they had Get Lemahadrin. They only use Jewish drivers, and they have Get Lemahadrin for Erev Shabbos, where they put your Erev down for you. Okay, so the question is, we said over there that the din, that the Rabbanan were Koveya, the Get Taxi Erev, that you said, is a kula for rich people, that they shouldn't have to worry about going out there with their feet, right? But if you're going to tell me that you lose the space of the Arba Amas by using food, so then you're actually being machmer on them. You're not being makel on them, because if they make this Erev using get taxi, they don't get the same amount of space that they would have had if they went there. And the Mishnah says that this whole thing was an idea to make life easier for the rich. So you see, it must be that we give you the same amount of space if you use food, because otherwise it isn't really making things easier for the rich. No, says the Gemara. There's a price for making things easier. The price may be that you lose 4 amas here and there, but the overall thing is certainly a kula for me not to have to schlep out there. You can't prove from here. And therefore, afilu hachi, even if you would lose the space, it's still nechali. He still prefers to use the get taxi idea, in order that he should not have to go back. Now,
Rabbi, this is Nogias now also, because you can easily tell the difference between an usher and ani, who now kanainahara has food in their fridge and is starting to cook, or shopping list with money or a credit card, and has food for yomtiv, and who doesn't and is hoping that somehow they will have food for yomtiv. And the usher, it's very easy; they can just say, give money, sit where they are in the chair, and maybe he'll take care of it, or Kaplan will take care of it.
That's a very good point.
That's mamish this sugya.
You're absolutely right, and I'm very grateful to you for a change, for interrupting with that information, because in fact, Rav Kaplan did call me and said, please remind everybody that there's still time to give things out for the Sudas Yante, for Sukkot, and he will be happy to do that for you. So again, if anybody wants to, those of you who gave for before, I have you written down, and you know which proportion of your money you wanted to go to Sukkot. Those who didn't get a chance yet to give on Erev before Yom Kippur are welcome to be my triach me and to allow me the schus to be the shliach to get your money to Rav Kaplan. Thank you. Okay. Now, the next question that we have, which is about, we're about to introduce with this Mishnah. The next question we have is the idea of what do we mean precisely when we say a traveler? We just said that we just accepted the approach that even if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, we accepted that the halacha is like Rabbi Nachman's definition of Rabbi Yehuda, in which case we were matir apparating only in the event that you are on the road. So there's a question. What do we mean by being on the road? Could being on the road itself be a formality? Meaning you start walking and then you ki'ilu turn around. You know, so you say, I am on my way to the gas station. And then you sneak back home without saying anything, right? Okay. And then there's another question. Do you even have to say, I am on my way to the gas station? Or can you just go as if you're going to the gas station? And then there's another question. Would the circumstances make it nafkamina? All of these things are nogea mamish la'alocha. So I'm not just driving you crazy as a temporary way of understanding the Mishnah. We actually end up with different Rishonim holding different levels of what we mean when we say you're on their way. So we could be talking about a case where it's a given that you're on the way because of the case that we mentioned yesterday. A person has two homes. Remember, we spoke about that because we looked ahead in order to bring a raya, and this is where we're going to get to that sugya. A person has two homes. Sometimes he spends Shabbat in home one, sometimes in Shabbat in home two, and sometimes he goes from one to the other. Now, for a person like that who starts walking on the road towards one of his other homes, then there may be actually an additional kula in that he doesn't have to say anything because it's a given. This is where he goes all the time, and we take it for granted that that was his das to be able to have an Erev there. So basically, there are going to be two major factors that we're going to be discussing. That is the announcement for someone who is on the road, not someone who's being kuna mokum, shvisa bimakomo, which we discussed earlier. You do not need to proclaim in words that this is my makom shvisa. If your das is, this is your makom shvisa. But how about for a person of a level three who's apparating to an Erev? So we've already seen that according to the way Reb Nachman understood the sugya, even though we're paskening like Reb Yehuda, you do have to be on the road. What do we mean by being on the road? That would be one question. And the other question is, do you also, in conjunction with being on the road, do you also have to make some kind of statement about where it is that your makom shvisa is? Because look, I mean, there's a difference between being in a place where we could say you don't need to make a statement if you're actually there. Mashain Kane, you aren't there. And the only thing that we see evidently from you is that you're trying to get somewhere. But where is the specific somewhere that you're going? Rebbe's can't yawn. So where is the specific place? That specific place has to be defined by you, and it has to be said, and it has to be proclaimed. So that may be a possibility. And it turns out that that itself is a machlokas, and a machlokas within a machlokas, in which we have the further question about whether the fact that you own a home in the other city gives us special dinim. And all of that is what we're about to engage in here. So I hope that the first part is clear, and that will enable us to be able to go further without getting confused, because if we're still going to be worrying about the two approaches to the two dinim, which would depend on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in three different cases of Erev, and do a bit of simple math, and you can see that you're trying to hold an awful lot in your head at one time. So it's best that we move on, talk about the halacha, which we know according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we understand now that it's going Aliba Reb Nachman, And now we could just get to sort of the details. Okay, so now the Mishnah tells us like this. Mishi yatzal lelech ba'ir shema arvim ba. The guy actually, he starts walking, and he wants to go to his gas station, to be on the way to the other city. And then he gets a phone call from the Rebbe. The Rebbe tells him it's not a good idea to go out for the Shabbos. Better to be here. You could be at the Tish. And the guy turns around, right? He turns around. And then the next day, he wants to go back to the place where he never got to on Erev Shabbos. And we're not clear whether he said something or not. Hu mutar lelech? Well, he is allowed to travel to where he was going. But the rest of the city who tries to do this is not allowed to travel. Now, Rashi's first take on this Mishnah is that he is mutar lelech, and we're talking about his not having said anything. However, as we will see, he has a house in the other city that he's going to. And that may be the reason that he doesn't have to say anything. All of this is up for grabs. And in the end, Rashi's going to drop all of this. But right now, Rashi's take on the Mishnah is the guy said nothing. But he did start walking before he got the telephone call. So then the halacha is that the next day he can actually continue to go, but everybody else cannot go. So it says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, look, man, if the guy could have made the Erev properly, and he did not make the Erev properly, then he's always going to be in a chamar gamal state. Now, remember what chamar gamal means. If you are a chamar and you're leading your donkey, you lead a donkey from behind for the simple reason that you have to keep smacking him on the behind in order to get him to move. When you're leading a camel, you're leading the camel in front of the camel. So if you've got both a camel and a donkey, shish, you better watch out because something's going to get you. Anyways, you're between the two of them and you're sort of stuck there, right? Okay, so that's what happens to this guy. Meaning that according to Rebbe Meir, again, this is Rashi's first take. According to Rebbe Meir, you could have, you're such an idiot. You were on the road. All you needed to do to make this a proper Erev, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, was to say, I want my Erev to be at the gas station that is midway between this town and the other town so I can get to my other house, right? And you are too dumb to make that announcement. So if you could have made the Erev properly, but you didn't make the Erev properly, so now let me tell you why you're in big trouble. Because basically, when you start going, you are indicating that you do not have an interest in defining your current location as your Mokom Shvita. You're leaving. Then that means you left your current Mokom Shvita for Shabbat. You thought that you were going to be Kona a new Mokom Shvita at the gas station. However, you didn't. Stupid. So because of that, what you have left is only what you didn't throw out the window. So let me explain to you what you did throw out the window. The moment that you started going there and you said, I don't want to be here for Shabbos. So what happens is that all of the 2,000 amot in the other direction, you gave up on. Because you only had those 2,000 amot because your Mokom Shvita was here, right? Okay, now, on the other hand, you certainly did not give up on the 2,000 amot in the other direction because that's basically where you wanted to be able to walk on Shabbos because of your other supposed Erev that you never made properly in the gas station. So then that means we take away from you what you willingly and stupidly gave away, and that was all of the walking to the other direction, and you are left only with the area that you could have had to the direction that you wanted to go, which is 2,000 amas, and you can go between that place and here. That means you can go up to the gas station, okay, because that was included within your 2,000 amas. It was the full extreme of your 2,000 amas. You thought you had an Erev in the gas station, but you don't. So you are limited to going between your house and the gas station where you could have put your Erev because that's within your tum. But you can't go in the other direction at all. So you're chamar gamal between the gas station and your current house. You didn't get any rights to move on. And this would be the general rule, says Rabbi Meir, if you had the ability to make an Erev. Now, of course, remember, according to Rabbi Meir, this would be true about an usher as well. in any case, even when he was going to be Ma'ariv Baraglav, and he wasn't apparating. So that if this usher is on the road and he does have the ability to put down food, because now he goes back home, so then basically he did not do things right. Where's the food? We ask him. Where is the Erev? He says, what do you mean? Where's the Erev? I was on the road. No, you're not. You went back home. You're not on the road. And therefore, you had access to food. If you wanted to send the food, you should have used your get taxi. You didn't use your get taxi because you stupidly wanted to save a few bucks. And we gave you this ability, I mean, because you're rich, so you can afford get taxi. So why the heck didn't you send your Erev? If you didn't send your Erev, so then you're included in this din. Whoever could have made an Erev and didn't make an Erev is stuck with his vitur, his throwing out the area that he said, I'm not interested in traveling on, and he doesn't get his new interest, so he's always going to be Chamar Gamal. It's not clear to us at this point whether the problem, according to Rebbe Meir, is the fact that he didn't say anything, but otherwise we would have considered him to be on the derech, even though in the end he gets the telephone call and is turned around. Or the problem is that, according to Rebbe Meir, turning around does not count because it cancels your being on the road and then you become an usher again. There's two possible explanations. So too, the issue of why is he different than everybody else in town, according to Rebbe Yehuda. According to Rebbe Yehuda, he and only he is allowed to walk tomorrow. Nobody else is allowed to walk tomorrow. Asks the Gemara, why? Why is he different? Now, there's a lot of things that may define that difference, okay? And here is where we get to the special case. We're talking about over here a case where a guy had two homes in two different cities, and he's got 4,000 amos between them, so he could theoretically walk between one and the other if he had the Erev at the gas station and it was middle. So he who is actually on the road to go to his other home, even though he got the telephone call in the middle and turned around, we view him as being a serious oni, in the sense that he's really traveling. He had every intention of getting there. And because of that, he's considered to be an oni, because we define the oni as being a traveler. And up until the point where he got the telephone call, all these other guys that tried to do the same thing by deciding that they are going to have an Erev through apparition in the gas station between these two cities, they can't do that because, again, since we're paskening Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda the way that Reb Nachman explained it, even Reb Nachman was only matir it if you're on the road. But since the other people weren't on the road, and he's the only one who is on the road, therefore, he's the one that gets the Erev. Now, there's two ways of understanding the fact that he's got the house in the other city. One way of understanding the fact that he's got the house in the other city is that if it weren't for that, then Rav Yehuda would have said, well, of course you have to announce that you're going in order to get the gas station to be your Mokum Shvisa. How else are we supposed to know? But if you've got a house there and we understand that you need to get to your home, then it's a given that even if you don't speak, that you would be considered to be the equivalent of speaking. That would be one way of learning. And there are Rishonim who learn that way. Halacha L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah, brings from this sugya that it could be the way that they understand it, you actually do have to make a proclamation unless you have a house in the other city, you see. So even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that way, he paskins like that. No, the reason that it says over here you need the house in the other city is because if you don't have the house, you're not a serious traveler. The fact that you start walking and you're ready to turn back home, if you didn't have a home in the other city, means, okay, you gave up on traveling. You don't have no intention of going anywhere unless you defined it. So you're not really on the road at all. That's the problem. If you're not on the road, then you're an usher. And if you're an usher, the way that Reb Nachman understood Reb Yehuda is that Reb Yehuda also agrees that in level 3 Erevin of apparating Erevin, the din is that either you're seriously on the road or we don't accept an apparation, right? Okay, so there's two very different ways of understanding this. The factors are saying, traveling, and the assumptions of the above because of the owning of the two homes. That's what makes it a little bit complex. But once you see the factors that you need to take into consideration, it becomes clear. And in fact, it says in the Braita that if you have two homes and you have the two Tchumei Shabbos that are separated only by 4,000 Amos, which allows you to make an Erev in the gas station in the middle, the moment that you start traveling, Kivan Shehichzik Baderech, pow, you already got your Erev at that moment at the gas station. And you don't have to actually put anything there. And we'll see. Did you have to say something or not? That's not clear from the Braita. And so says Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I take it a step further, man. I say, even if you went down to your parking garage, you got into your car and you didn't even start the motor yet. And that's when you get the call from your Rebbe. And it says to you, no, stay here tonight. It's too hot to travel. It's too cold to travel. You want to stay overnight. And he listened to him. The next day, he's also allowed to go out to his place in the other town. Okay, what was the Yeter Alkein? I take it a step further. Tell me what the step further is, because there's two ways of understanding the step further. The step further may be in terms of the lesser travel, or the step further may be, he didn't have to say anything. Says Rabbah, let me explain to you what the difference is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The difference is like this. The way I understand it, throw out Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah. To make an announcement that you want to apparate, everybody agrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you need to say, I want to be in the gas station to be my Mokum Shvisa. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you have to say, I want the gas station to be my Mokum Shvisa. The machlokus over here is in terms of whether you need to actually turn on the car motor, get out of the garage, and then get the phone call, or you just needed to want to go. That's the question. Do you have to actually be on the road? So according to Rabbi Yehuda said, you set out. It said, Yirzik Baderach, you were already on the road, and then you get the phone call. Masha'inkein, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to be on the road. Even if you only intended to go on the road, that would be enough. And at that point, if you turned around because of the phone call and so on, it would be no problem. Rabbi Yosef says, I understand it differently. I understand that you definitely have to be on the road to some extent. That's for sure. So lahachzik kulei amalo pliga, you have to be on the road. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yossi, is whether you need to also say that you want to be in the gas station. And therefore, even though it doesn't say in our Mishnah that he said something, but remember that in the original Mishnah on Mem Tet, of which this Mishnah is a continuation, it says over there, and the guy said, I want my Mokum Shvisa to be at the Elon, which is the gas station in our case, right? So I think they actually have gas stations, a gas company called Elon, don't they? Well, if they don't, they should. In any event, the idea over there is that I'm taking for granted that as an extension of the original Mishnah, the guy said. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda meant that he definitely said. Okay? That's possible. So that would be the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda, the father, holds he needs to say. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you just set out, that's perfectly enough. Because the very fact that you're going, now here's the machlokas, is that the very fact that you're going to a known home in the other city, that means you don't have to say? Or is, no, that's not the point. You never have to say. You just have to be on the derech. The only reason the other home is important is to make starting out an actual derech. And we're going to see more about this later. And in fact, we have a statement of Ula, which is really weird. And I'd like to know who he was thinking like. Was he thinking like Rabbi Yosef's pshat, that you don't have to say? Or was he thinking like Rava's pshat, you don't have to be on the road? What exactly is the meaning of Ula? Because Ula says something weird. Ula says, if you were on the road, Mishir Zikba derech, and then you get a phone call that takes you back, then he is in a matzav of being muhzar and muhzak, meaning he is muhzak on the derech, but he's muhzar back home. That's insane. What do you mean? If he's back home, then he's not muhzak. I mean, say he went back home implies that he's considered to be like everybody else in the city, and he has a tchum in both directions. That's what muhzar means. If you say he's muhzak, then you're telling me, no, no, he's okay. He's still considered to be on the road, even though he's going back. How can you say both of those things at the same time? V'i muhzak, lama muhzar. So what did Ula mean? Ula was saying like this, says the Gemara Hachika Amar. Ula was saying, even though he turned around and he's back in town, afapisha muhzar, he's nonetheless considered to be muhzak baderech, and he was kena his mokam shvisa at the gas station. Now, who is Ula? Who does he mean that like? Well, it would work out very well the way Rabbi Yosef understood Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda, that somebody who starts off, even though he didn't say anything, and nobody, the guy said nothing, that he would still get the gas station even though he went back home. So then it could be that Ula's following that way. Now, here's where we get to the practical application. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ishtata once came to the house of Rav Nosson bar Oshaya, and he came to deliver this package of beautiful peirot, and he was about to leave back home. It was Erev Shabbos. His home was 4,000 amot away from the house of Rav Nosson bar Oshaya. Rav Nosson bar Oshaya waited till he took a step off of the porch. And then after he took a step off of the porch, he said to him, wait a minute, wait a minute. Why don't you stay here overnight? So he did. And then the next day, he gets up and he goes home, even though he never had an Erev. What? How could he walk 4,000 amos without an Erev? So now, apparently, what Rav Nosson bar Oshaya was thinking is that since I let him take one step off of my porch, he is now Huchzak Bederach, right? Now, when I call to him, that's the phone call from the Rebbe. Stay overnight. He changed his mind and he stays overnight. But it said in the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to whom we paskin, he is allowed to go the next day back home. So that's exactly what he did. I'm assuming that that is going aliba to Rabbi Yossi, the way Rabbi Yosef understood him, because, I mean, he didn't say anything over here, and the way Rabbi Yosef understood the, not only that, I want to add an additional case of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda means, I want to add the fact that he doesn't have to say anything, not like my dad holds, right? Apparently. So he's going, look, you don't know that he didn't say anything. I mean, we're not giving you all of the details over here. It may well be that he's going like Rava's approach in Rabbi Yehuda, and you do need to be on the road, that one step. And that you do need to say, you need both things. And maybe he did. I don't know. We don't know whether afterwards he said that, oh, okay, I'll stay overnight, but I want my Erev to be in the gas station. Maybe he did that. So we can't really prove it from here. But in any event, we do see very clearly that we have a situation here. There's all these three possibilities. You need to be both on the derech, and you need to actually say it. You need to be on the derech, but you don't need to say it. And the other approach was in Rabban Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that actually you don't even need to be on the derech. You just have to say that you want to be on the derech and that you want your gas station to be the Mokum Shvisa, and that would be fine. So it could be any of the above. We're not really sure. Now, when Rabbi Meir argues in the Mishnah, he says, listen, whenever you can make an Erev and you don't make an Erev properly, again, we don't know what that means. It could be either approach. You could have made the Erev by saying you want your Mokum Shvisa when you were traveling there at the beginning. You didn't say it. Boy, you're dumb. Or you could have made an Erev because of the fact that you could have put food down there, assuming that we're talking about the question, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, going back means we canceled the travel. And you didn't. Boy, are you dumb. But whatever it is, you didn't make the Erev properly, again, depending on our analysis. So there may be two possibilities in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is insisting on speaking, and he didn't speak, which was the original take that we had on the Mishnah, and that the Mishnah is not basing itself on the first Mishnah that opened up the sugya of apparating, where the guy said, Ve'omar shvitati b'makom ploni. This is a different case. Or Rabbi Meir's problem is that he, even though he did start out, Rebbe Meir disagrees with our basic assumption. He says starting out is nothing. When we're talking about an ani, we mean a guy who is seriously on the road and remains on the road. Not that he goes back home and now he's got a full refrigerator full of stuff and now he's going to get away with operating without putting down food there. Could be either. So whatever it is, we definitely already know that according to Rebbe Meir, where we have a problem in an Erev, that the din is these chamar gamal, right? So, I mean, didn't we say already once that we had the Mishnah before? And it's that was back on Lamed Hey. The Mishnah before said, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, say arei zeh chamar gamal. That was talking about in the case it was a Suffolk Erev. We know something happened to the Erev. We're not sure if it happened during Ben Hashboshes or whether it happened before Ben Hashboshes. So because of that, it's a Suffolk Erev and he's chamar gamal. So obviously that would be the same question over here as well. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret, and that is that I've been hiding from you a further complication, which is that the pshat in this whole sugya, according to Rashi's Kabbalah from his Rebbe, which he says, I don't like. It doesn't make sense. There's too many kashas on it. And my preferred approach is the one that I just told you throughout the sugya, is there's another completely different approach in which the question of whether lomar does not mean that you have to announce that you want your makom shvisa. Lomar means the phone call. That did you just turn around on your own or did you get a phone call? That would be the nafka mina. And according to that approach, Rabbi Meir's problem was that it's not clear to me whether the guy really was kaina originally or he just turned around. So it would be a suffix. According to that approach, this is a suffix as well. That is not the preferred approach, and therefore it's a little bit problematic of why we would think that since Rabbi Meir Paskins with the Suffolk Erev that it's Chamar Gamal, that this is automatically included. But that may be included in the Gemara's Teretz, Omer of Sheshes, because we need to make it clear that you shouldn't think that Rabbi Meir is only saying, in a case where it's a Suffolk if he made an Erev, a Suffolk if he didn't make an Erev, then that case and only that case is Chamar Gamal. But how about if we know he didn't make an error? Like over here, according to me, says Rabbi Meir, Ivada didn't make an error. So over there, maybe he actually, in turning back, he's not a chamar gamal because he doesn't lose his original error. I mean, he wanted to travel and he didn't travel. So now he goes back home and he gets his original tron. Therefore, you need to know that even if he actually never made that other error, there is a sub machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir that we did not note before, which is very important. No yawning. And that is, not even suppressed yawnings, and that is that in the event that he actually turns around, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he can still, if he ends up not using the other Erev, he still has the ability to be like the people in town, and he's not a chamar gamal. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, he would have to reassert the fact that he wants to be the Erev in town, and if not, he's a chamar gamal. So that's a separate, that's like a subtext, which we didn't really get into the sugya. And that's why we're saying over here that even if Avadai lo Erev, he'd still be chamar gamal, because over here, in the case of the Mishnah, he definitely did not make a good Erev. And he's not able to walk 100%. He's not able to walk further than that gas station. And nonetheless, Rabbi Meir is considering him to be a chamar gamal anyway. And now we have Richie.
All of the confusion of this first Mishnah was because Richie didn't introduce it. If Richie would introduce it, all of these things would have been very clear.
I noticed that. I thought that I was waiting for perhaps because it goes without saying, since I'm a traveler, I'm now in a lot. It's a little more than 4,000 amos. And I wondered exactly what the position would be if I started out on the trip and the cop told me that because of the seder, I had to go back. Now, would that be on the road or not on the road?
So there was a machlokas whether a cop has a din of a rebbe. Or whether there's no comparison. The Rebbe people listen to a cop, people just sneak around the side road. This is a machlokas. Anyway, why don't you introduce the next Mishnah before everybody stops me? Come on, man, I have a minute only.
Hey, look, Mishnah.
Okay, so we started off our perek where a guy was taken out of the tchum against his will, either by a psychotic episode, by goyim, whatever, right? And then we have all those machlokas in about how he can get back in, and if he's in a place that's enclosed, and how big the enclosure can be, and so on. How about if a guy walked out of the tchum on purpose? Then even if he's one ama, out of the tchum, he can't go back into the tchum. Lo yikanes. And there's no such thing as overlapping tchumim if the guy went out b'mezid. Rabbi Eliezer says, as we saw before, going out of the tchum means that you had to walk out two amos past the tchum, because remember, Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that you have four amos with you in the middle. And then that would mean that you've got still your tchum, maybe 2,000 amos, but the next two amos is the place where you are anyway. Even if it was standing at the end of the tchum, you still have those two amos because that's all your place. Only if you went out of the tchum by three amos, then you cannot go back in, because your four amos of personal space allows you two amos in every direction. Amar Rabbi Chanina, okay, how about if you got 1 foot in and 1 foot out? What's the din? You can't go in. Because take a look at the pasuk in the Torah. It says, Im tashiv mishabat raglecha, but it doesn't say raglecha with a yud. It says raglecha without a yud. And therefore, the ketiv is, if you hold back your foot, bekavet Shabbos, your single foot. So if you're single foot, if you already put out 1 foot out, it's over. You weren't meshiv your raglayim. Bekovet Shabbos, says the Gemara. But the Brisa said, if 1 foot is in the tchum and 1 foot is out the tchum, then you can go in. So it's against what Rabbi Chanina said. Now that Brisa is going according to the Acherim, because the Acherim learn in another Brisa that your place is defined where most of your body is located. So since if you only put 1 foot out, most of your body is back in the tchum, so the din is that we go goof, your ragel is baser gufo aslinan, essentially. We're going to be mezakir you back to the place where you are. But if you don't hold of that, so then Rabbi Chanina says, so then fine, I'm not going to leave the acherim. Other sages, the opposite. What Rabbi Chanina says is that as long as you have 1 foot in the tchum, even if 1 foot went out of the tchum, you can go back in, because it says, im tashiv mishabat raglecha, which means your feet, not your foot. And over here, your feet, at least, you didn't take out from Shabbos, and therefore, you did not overstep your boundaries. That's the words in English, which is based, obviously, on the sugya. He overstepped his bound. That means it was regel achas b'chutz l'tchum. And that's the question. Overstep, is that 1 step or is that 2 steps? That was about Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer. This would be a big question and probably could get you off of a serious misdemeanor charge if you bring the Gemara. But, man, you'd have a lot of arguing. Okay, Matanya. So in this version, we say, but the Brisa says you're not allowed to go back into the tchum. And he answers, according to this version, I hold like the Acherim. So it's the exact opposite. Original version, since only 1 foot is out, and we go according to where most of your body is, lamakom sherubo, that's where you go. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, 2 amas is still considered to be within the tchum. 3, not. What about the Brisa, where Rabbi Eliezer says, 1 ama, you can go back in, 2, you can't. I'd explain that. I mean, it's not consistent with Rabbi Eliezer, but Chalal, I mean, it's not consistent with what he said here. It's not consistent with his opinion about the 4 amas with you in the middle and all of that. Lo kasha. No, it's simply a question of verbal understanding. The Mishnah is talking about a guy who is within 2 amas because he took a foot out of in the first Amma, but he's still in the second Amma. So when the Mishnah says if he went out 2 Ammas, it means he's within the 2 Ammas. He put 1 foot into the 2 Ammas already, right? Or both feet into 2 Ammas. Whereas the Brayta was talking about, no, you went out of the 2 Ammas, and you're in the 3rd Amma. So that's just a question of how to understand the words. Okay. It says, no, that can't be true. Because it says in a Brayta, Rebbe Eliezer, this is another Brayta, so the Rebbe Eliezer says, even 1 amma. Now that you're not going to be able to explain away. Okay, how are you going to do that? If you're telling me Rabbi Eliezer holds even 1 amma, so then you're stuck. Because now he's really contradicting himself. No, wait a second over here. That's a completely different case. That is a case of somebody who is modate. Modade, according to Rashi, means that he was on the road and he had his Mokum Shvisa somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he starts counting his 2,000 amas, remember, as we said before, by counting his steps. So over there, he counts 2,000 steps, and he's hoping he's going to be able to get into the city. And it turns out that he's one amma out of the city. The guy's gone crazy. So over there, he can't go into the city, because even if his tchum would have gone into the city, he couldn't have gone, he couldn't have used the city as his tchum either. And that is similar to what we learned in the Mishnah later on, where it says somebody who is counting over there, Lamode Chamru Notnim Lo Alpayim Amma, that is precisely Alpayim Amma, because he started counting from outside of his four Ammas, and he counts 2,000. I don't care if it ends in the middle of this big cave, which may go on for kilometers. He stops in the middle of the cave, because the only way that we give a person the makam of the entire area is where he went out for a mitzvah, or is dragged out. He was dragged out. Remember, those were all the cases that we had before. But otherwise, if he went out, no way. And one last din, so that we can complete. What do you say? I mean, we need to hear from our capitan, right? The whole deal. Thank you, capitan. Give it to us, baby. A guy is in the middle of nowhere, maybe going down to Eilat, gets a flat tire and is taken over by Shabbos in the middle of the road. So over there, he can't even go out and get into the tchum even one amma beyond where he made his Mokum Shvisa. Rabbi Shimon says, now, things are not that tight. The truth is that there's a little bit of leeway over here. Let me explain to you why there's leeway. You have leeway up to 15 amos beyond the marker. They had these flashing markers that said, Adkan Tchum Shabbos, Adkan Tchum Shabbos, right? So now, remember that the way the markers are set up is that Ein HaMashuchot Mematzin Et HaMidot Mipnei HaToim. There is no way that they were exact, because they wanted to leave a little extra room for people who may miss the flashing sign. These are people with ADD. They only notice the flashing sign 15 amas later, and then, oh my God, I already walked out of the city. So they should know they have a little bit of leeway. Where does this leeway come from? It's very simple. The way that we measure is by using ropes of 50 amas. Oh, Ira is saying the signs of Usha, of the Tchum Shabbos, are still there. The battery is still working? Or it was solar powered, the flashing light? Okay. No response. All righty. So what we have over here is ropes of 50 amot, and you do 40 times, you measure the ropes of 50 amot, and that gives you 2,000 amot. But remember, every single time you measure, one guy's holding the rope on one end of the rope, and one guy's holding the rope on the other end of the rope. And as you recall, in modern terms, when you've got your laser measurer, you have to select whether you want to measure from the back or whether you want to measure from the front, right? Now, in those days, they didn't have the button on the rope. So because of that, you lost one tefach on one end and one tefach on the other end, because that's how much your hand is a tefach. But there's always a little bit of rope hanging out. That's an extra etzba, okay? Now let us multiply the 40 times. Each one of those times you lost two tvachim, right? So that gives you 80 tvachim, and each time you lost 40 fingers over the whole distance. You lost 40 fingers of the part that was sticking out. If four fingers equals a tefach, then that gives you another 10 tvachim, which gives you 80 plus 10, which is 90. 90 divided by 6 tvachim is actually 15. So therefore, you've got 15 amas extra, which is therefore ADD. And because of that, if you miss the marker, you do not necessarily fail the course perfectly. Tana, why is this? It's mipneto ehamida. It's for people who go a little bit too far. And now we can be Hadron Alach, Perek, Misho, Tziuhu. And Richie adds,